Good morning, this is Dan Darnall from KFUO Radio. It's time for Daily Chapel here at the International Center in St. Louis, Missouri. The text is Hebrews chapter 12, verses 28b through 13, verse 8. The Reverend Sean Dinser is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Hebrews beginning at the 12th chapter.
Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember those who are in prison, as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since you also are in the body. Let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous. Keep your life free from the love of money, and be content with whatever you have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same, yesterday and today and forever. O Lord, have mercy on us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Today we'll take this scripture as it comes. We have grace, it says literally at the beginning, which does make us grateful. Through Christ's undeserved favor, we have a kingdom not like this of this world, not one waiting to be shaken and overturned by someone, finally by God at the last day. Just like Peter writes, the rocks may appear to be the strong thing, much stronger than those few flecks of gold that are malleable in the ore. But after the fiery kiln does its work and burns, it's going to be the gold that is left standing. And so it is with those who trust in Christ Jesus. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His words will never pass away. Now, you hear enough from me about worship and reverence, but let's just observe this from today's scripture, that Moses and Aaron serving in the tabernacle, so in the same way, our acceptable worship is to be conscious both of the grace of God and the wrath of God. Faith is worship at its highest. Faith is worship at its deepest. That's what we confess, because faith receives God's gracious benefits in Christ Jesus. His promises, his words accomplish it all. They pervade, they norm, they also form those who are enlivened by him, not only in worship, strictly speaking, but also in the whole life of worship, the living sacrifices that we offer all the time, love and good works in every sphere of life, as we're about to consider in the rest of this passage. This is how it was also back in the holy place of old. It was God's fire and his word that were pervading everything and doing all of the work in those courts. And remember that those who brought their own fire, their own words, well, beware. Now next, brotherly love is the first kind of love that comes first. That means love of those who are brothers of ours in Christ Jesus. We are joined to Christ by his blood. He's our brother first and foremost, our eldest, our foremost brother. He's the one mediator between God and man, not any other saint, as we affirmed again yesterday. But what is still true is that we are knit together into a communion of saints through Christ Jesus, a communion that is mediated by Christ himself. And out of this, Paul says that also hospitality towards strangers ought to come. Even, actually he says, a love towards strangers also. Both of these are outgrowths of faith. They are like what we see with Abraham and Lot, who entertained those angels in their homes. And do not forget those brothers, he writes, that are also imprisoned or mistreated, as though they are cut off for us, out of our sight, away from our presence, therefore out of our minds, and not with us anymore. No, we are one in the body of Christ, and therefore when one member suffers, all suffer. Next, he says that marriage is to be held in honor by all, and how critical this is. This passage really sums up everything that the scriptures say about marriage and about sexuality. It's to be held in honor not only by those who are married. It's not just something that those who enter into that state have to care about, but also by all of the unmarried, the single, both so that they can keep the marriage bed undefiled, but also the single who are chaste, that they would honor marriage as a true gift of God, even if they are not going to be part of that. This is the opposite, by the way, of the very common sentiment about relations that we have today, that whatever happens between two consenting adults in their bedroom is, in fact, a very private thing. It's of no concern to anyone else. Well, bluntly, we know exactly what's happening in marriage. Often we see the fruits of it as God blesses a marriage. The bedroom is not to be the place of dirty secrets. It is to be the place of public honor. And in fact, the institution of marriage that Christ has given, when it is held as an honorable state of His, it gives to the marriage bed both its chaste discretion, thanks be to God, also all of its honorable recognition. This is a beautiful thing. So love the brotherhood. Love and be hospitable to strangers. Husband and wife, love each other. But beware of another love, the love of money. Even as one of your poets has said, God money don't want everything, he wants it all. And he will give you what you deserve if you are his worshiper. Now notice in this epistle how closely contentment is connected to faith. Faith in money is what we're really talking about here. Faith in money means faith in all of the things that are easily shaken, right? Like printer networks, apparently. This isn't worthy of our reverence or our awe. It is worthy only of our use, as long as we have it. But our contentment doesn't come even from what we have, even if we just have a little, even if we have enough, even if we have an abundance. No, our contentment as Christians comes from the Lord's promises, from His kingdom that is given to us, a kingdom that cannot be shaken because it is His. Now, this here in today's epistle is a beautiful example of how a Christian is to think, how especially we Christians should speak, that the Bible's own words would actually shape our thoughts and then our speech as well as our actions of love, that the context of God's thoughts and words would be the largest, the one that looms over all of the other contexts and inputs that we face. And you know what that can be, the pressures of money, the pressures of society and culture, the pressures of power, or maybe of risk and its fears. In short, all of the pressures of the world, which though created and upheld by God's hand, and so they're rightly called good according to faith, nevertheless, according to sight, visibly, thoroughly corrupted by sin. And so, rightly called, as we do, a fallen world. But the thing that isn't fallen is the scriptures. They are not fallible, which means they're not misleading. They are not themselves misled. And this is because God does not err. He is not misled. He does not mislead you either. He speaks, and not through human wisdoms, not through the ways and the spirits and the measures of success that we find in this world, But he speaks through his prophets and his apostles who testify to Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. So then look here how the writer counters all of these fragile things, the love of money, the confidence in money, for example, with the promise of God from Deuteronomy 31, from Joshua chapter 1, from 1 Chronicles 28, where he says to Moses and to the Israelites, to Joshua, to David, I will not leave you. The true promises of God address the Christian with greater weight than all of those false promises of the things that seem to be normal and therefore trusted, the things that seem to be preferred and therefore better, more desirable. Holds greater weight than all the things that our screens are delivering to us and whatever our perceptions might be gathering. Let the one who speaks speak as one who brings the oracles of God. Consider how that belongs to all of us as Christians. And then second, look at how even the response that we have here in today's scripture is an outgrowth of such faith-building promises like this. It is expressed in the words of God also, borrowed from Psalm 118. I will not fear. What can men do to me? This phrase is all the more powerful when we hear it in Psalm 56, I think, which joins these points in Hebrews very directly. I trust in God's word. I praise it. I hope in it. Therefore, what can flesh or man do to me? Or as the apostle has written elsewhere, God is for us, so who can be against us? If he did not even hold back his own son, but gave him up freely, how then will he not freely and graciously give us all things in him? Lastly, he says, to remember those leaders who did this, who spoke this word of God to you, and consider their life, their speech, their faith, their outcome. Consider the source of whatever strength they exhibited, that it was in fact the Christ Jesus that they testified toward, who never changes and never deceives. It's true, garbage in, garbage out. Input the things of this world that will be shaken and your outcome will be shaken. But on the contrary, let the word of Christ dwell richly in you to teach and to admonish you. And the output will also be determined by the word of God rather than the poverty of your heart. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.